This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A two-part program today. We'll go live to Salem and talk to State Representative Virgil Osborne in our second segment. But first of all, as we've been doing, want to check around with another Douglas County community and see a little more in-depth about how they fared in Sunday's storm. Ken Strobeck is the interim city manager for the city of Drained. Ken, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Sure, my pleasure, Kyle.
So, talk about what Sunday morning was like in Drain.
You know, it came on really fast. I kind of think there might have been just like a bubble of water that came down Pass Creek and Elk Creek, and because those join right in the middle of Drain, and the water just rose extremely quickly, and suddenly everything was flooded. The streets, many homes, it was impassable in many areas, and buildings were sort of like castles that had moats around them, and it was just amazing how quickly that came on.
And, of course, we were expecting a storm. We got more rain than expected. What were some of the impacts around the city of Drain to your roads and other infrastructure?
Well, the main thing was there was just a lot of mud because Pass Creek overflowed and it was running down the streets and running through parking lots and through neighborhoods, just like that was the channel of the river. And so once it receded, and again, it receded fairly quickly also by Monday midday, most of the water had gone back into the banks, but what it left behind was logs and debris and lots of mud and really foul water in a lot of homes, soaked carpets, soaked furniture, garages that were full of water. So it had a big impact, even though it came on rather quickly.
Now, as a smaller community, you've got a small city staff. Where did you turn to for some additional help?
Well, right now we've got really an excellent staff. We had, we operate the electric utility in the city of Drain, and we had a few people that lost power, mainly because of some landslides and transformers that had blown. But our crews got right on that and were able to repair those outages, restored everybody's power. And then we started getting the street sweepers and the graders and just our small staff of four or five people in the public works department started going through the city and cleaning things up. But in addition to the impact of the creeks, we also had a lot of gravel that had washed down hillsides and stuff just because of the very, very heavy rain. And so, a lot of streets had the big piles of gravel at the bottoms of them and kind of made them impassable. So we had to get graders up there to get rid of that gravel and put it back where it belonged.
Now, how many folks live in the actual city of Drain?
About 1,900 people are in the city limits of Drain.
And obviously a limited staff there. Did what have you heard? Well, I guess, what's your process moving forward? Are you going to be seeking some help to get further away from all the impacts?
Well, we are online. I've been in touch with a group that is called Team Rubicon that said that they would be willing to send a crew down to help muck out houses and places where people had, standing water and soaked furniture and carpets and things like that. They can help with that. We also have been in touch with several private contractors, and some of the businesses in town, as well as some families, have contacted private cleanup companies to come in and do the, remediation to get rid of the water. Really, that's the big problem, because you don't want to have standing water that can then result in, contamination or bacteria or mold or something like that. So they're working on that. We're also getting in touch with, obviously, the county and the state regarding disaster funding. Our city council did meet in emergency session and did pass a declaration of a state of emergency, and hopefully that will get us some eligibility to get some additional assistance from either federal or state sources. So we're working with our neighboring communities as well as the county to get as much done as we can. But I got to hand it to all our citizens, our residents that, you know, just decided they're just going to roll up their sleeves and get right to work and take care of things. And like I said, our city staff has done a fantastic job of cleaning up mud. We do have some longer term repairs that need to be done. There was a section of asphalt where the creek came through that just tore up the asphalt like it was nothing, like it was just Legos, and threw asphalt around and wrecked up some of the road around our civic center. So we do have some, you know, longer term projects that we'll have to work on there. But overall, we've had a pretty quick recovery. I'm just worried that with this additional rain, you know, who knows, it might happen again. And also there are some parts of the creeks that there were so many logs and so much debris and branches that were swept down that they're kind of blocking the channel. And so I'm worried that that'll sort of dam up things and maybe make it so that it's more susceptible to flooding until we can get those things cleared out.
Now, a lot of times on Sunday, particularly Sunday mornings, people tend to be, you know, they sleep in, they watch sports on TV, they go to church, whatever. Was it, but it sounds like it, you didn't have any trouble getting people moving to help out real quickly.
Well, that's right. We didn't. There were several people, though, that were isolated in their homes, some of the lower-lying areas. The water came up so fast that they couldn't even get out. And some of the folks who, you know, are quite up in years really had trouble. And so the Douglas County Sheriff's actually got a pontoon boat and went house to house and evacuated quite a number of people and took them up to the Church of Christ that opened up their annex. And I contacted the Red Cross. They came down with one of their emergency trailers, set up cots and, you know, hot food and things like that. And so we were able to take care of those folks. But the Douglas County Sheriff's, you know, actually were boating around on our city streets rescuing some people.
Well, amazing what it has been like. Certainly something, I mean, this is very close in damage level to the 96 floods. In some locations, it's actually been more. So it's going to be a long-term challenge to get out. Ken, anything else you want to mention about how things are doing in Drain?
You know, we've had a lot of folks who've called and said that they have, you know, a need to get things cleaned up. And so we're going to be contacting, like I said, these groups that have volunteered to come and then also putting them in touch with these contractors who can do that. And, you know, the important thing is we need to document everything so that we can make our case to the federal and state emergency agencies to try to get some support for that. But, you know, overall, the community's really pulled together, and people are doing their cleanup. And in some ways, it looks like it did just, you know, a week ago. But there's still a lot of long-term damage that needs to be taken care of.
All right. Ken Strobeck, Interim City Administrator for the City of Drain. Ken, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Sure. Thank you.
1244, segment two, coming up in a moment. State Representative Virgil Osborne live from Salem. The interview's a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Segment 2 today, State Representative Virgil Osborne often in the studio, but in Salem today. And I know, Virgil, it sounds like things continue to just ramp up and get busier during this session of the Oregon State Legislature.
Kyle, hey, yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's seems like it's a lot busier than it was in 23. There's a lot of bills going through right now.
So what has been kind of some of the top points of discussion or maybe even disagreement this week?
Well, you know, this week Senate Bill 916 just passed the Senate floor. That bill makes it where striking employees will be able to be paid unemployment during the strike. That's probably been one of the most talked about bills in the building this week. And then, of course, we have the two gun bills that are up, and I believe they're scheduled for work sessions, or one may have passed the House or passed the Senate floor, and they're both going to be headed to the House floor at some point.
And talk more about those. What was the what kind of debate was heard on that one?
Well, the building was packed. I had committee during the 3075 gun bill, and it's that House Bill 3075 is just it's a horrible bill. It's kind of like 114, the Measure 114. It establishes a permitting process to be able to purchase a firearm, and it steps all over your Second Amendment rights. But for some reason, the legislature just seems to think that it's okay to do that. And of course, there's a lot of testimony against it. There's far, far more testimony against it than there are in favor. But there's an agenda that's going through the House this in 2025, and pretty hard to stop the agenda when the majority party has control of the agenda.
Any idea why gun bills are such a focus right now?
Well, personally, I think it's just simply there's a couple of folks on the Senate side, one in particular that's going to be retiring, and I think he wants his legacy to be that he took your guns away from you before he retired. I think that some of the senators have personal issues as to why they want to take your guns away, and frankly, it's very, very short-sighted. They're not considering the feelings of the majority of the Oregonians. They're just considered with their own personal agenda. And I hate to make it sound so simple, but that's where it starts. It goes from there, then you get groups, and there are some groups that want to take your guns away, but they're fed by the fire of the fact that there are some people with an agenda that think that you just shouldn't own a gun.
What about tax-related legislation?
Yeah, there are some not so great tax stuff going through. Oregon Health Authority is wanting to increase their fees, and there'll actually be a hospital fee, somewhat of a tax, by 400%. Frankly, it's just that's Senate Bill 842. It's just a matter of the state being super fat, and they're wanting to make it even worse. You know, a lot of these positions were created because of COVID. A lot of the agencies and the bureaucracies happened because there was lots of COVID money coming in from the feds. When COVID was over and the money stopped, now they've got to find ways to pay for some of these things. And that's kind of the talk of the building right now. That's what they're doing. They're trying to fatten up all the agencies. And it's really sad because it's on the back of the taxpayers, taxpayers of the state.
And what are you hearing from residents of the district as they kind of follow what's happening in Salem?
Yeah, I get a lot of feedback both through social media and a lot of emails as well, and people are just not happy. They really want to stop what's happening with the gun bills. They want to stop what's happening right now with the excessive amount of dollars that are getting funneled into tax dollars that are getting funneled into homeless programs, that seemingly endless holes, rabbit holes that are going down, and some of that's coming through with the housing bill. And it's difficult. I mean, I hear their voices. We fight for that every day up here, especially Republican caucus. We fight for what's right for our communities and our districts. But sadly, rural Oregon is broadly ignored by a lot of the majority party right now.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the impact of Sunday's storm. Talk about any state assistance that may be possible at some point.
Yeah, I know I had some discussions with Commissioner Freeman right kind of in the middle of the storm. I was already in Salem. There's not much I could do physically. Unfortunately, I would love to have been in town working with search and rescue. I know they were called out. They were busy. But I did make a phone call to Governor Kotek, and I sent her photos of what I saw from social media and also from stuff that our commissioners had sent to me as well. And I said, I don't know where this is going to go yet. At that point, it hadn't gone. The storm was about mid-storm, so it hadn't gotten crazy yet. And I said, but I know that we're going to need some help. And she assured me that her teams were willing to help, and she's aware of it. Just to bring awareness to her was my goal, and we did that. at about 10:15 that morning, I believe Commissioner Freeman told me the county declared a state of emergency, and then I believe it's a conflagration, which brings in state help where needed. So I haven't been back in district because I've been in session for the last week, so I've only seen photos, but I've heard lots of stories, and of course the community all pulls together on these things, but there's a lot of damage that was done, and I do believe the state will step in to help with that damage, and we're going to make sure we'll stay on top of it from Salem. We're not going to let that slide if they don't.
And of course, the governor did declare a state of emergency for Douglas and several other counties that have all been impacted by storms in the last few weeks. I think that was done later in the day on Monday. As you look around legislation right now being considered by the committees you're on, anything jump out that you want to let folks know about?
Well, yeah, there's been some pretty crazy stuff that has been being talked about, and I'm sure a lot of it you'll see on social media. That, of course, the Senate Bill 916 was one, the ag bill that created a union ability for agricultural workers to go into unions. That actually did pass the Senate floor, and that'll be coming to the House floor. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but that's something that you're going to want to watch. Those are bills that are business killers for the state of Oregon. We've already lost 2,000 farms since 2017, and this bill will surely cost us more farms, and that's something we need to watch out for. There are some good bills coming. One more that I should mention on the bad bill list, though. The Senate Bill 681 is a fossil fuel divestment, and they're attempting, and I believe it got a hearing, and it's probably going to clear the Senate floor, but they're attempting to take out any companies from our portfolio for PERS that have any investments in fossil fuels. And this is another direct attempt by our Democrat Party in Salem to rid the state of anything fossil fuel related. They'd like everything to go to green energy companies. As we all know, green energy is a failing investment right now, but that's going to hurt our PERS system as well. So if you are a state employee or you do have a PERS pension, that would be a bill that you certainly want to pay attention to, because that could hurt your pension, that could hurt your monthly salary. And again, that was Senate Bill 681. Good bills. We're working on House Bill 2050, which is a military veteran retirement tax exemption. So that's a possibility. I believe it's hopefully going to get actually today is the last day. If a bill hasn't been scheduled for a work session, then it died, which should eliminate a few thousand bills, thankfully. But hopefully that one will get a work session. And then there are some other ones. There's a tax break for seniors bill that we're trying to push through. That would be House Bill 3375. And then there's an anti-swatting bill that I believe is going to gain some traction, and that's where there's been a lot of false 911 reports, and this bill would would turn that into a little bit more of a crime, and hopefully stop some of that. It's called swatting. I've never heard of it until this year, but it's something that's a thing. So there are some good things going on.
And what's the biggest challenge to being both a Republican and from a rural area when you're attempting to get things done?
Well, the biggest challenge is getting your bills heard. Frankly, if the Republican bills were actually heard and then went to work sessions and got a chance to be voted on, we wouldn't be staring down the barrel of, you know, fossil fuel elimination, you know, because people live in rural areas understand we drive tractors and we need diesel for our trucks, you know. And so the biggest challenge is just getting in front of the right committee and having your bill heard. And then, of course, if you understand the way politics works in the House, you have to have it heard. Then it has to go to a work session, and then the committee has to vote it from a work session onto the House floor or the Senate floor, whichever way it, you know, may be coming from. But the problem is getting the chairs of those committees to hear your bills. And they just don't seem to be, there's not much of an appetite to listen to Republican bills. I don't know what the percentage is right now, but I believe the percentage of Republican bills being heard compared to Democrat bills in the state are probably, it's got to be at least 3-1 if it's not 4-1.
And are you likely to have Friday sessions of the House more often now?
Well, I'm actually up here today for another committee that I actually chair. So no, we're not having a session today. It's funny because there's not been a lot of bills coming out of the House or the Senate. And I don't know why that is. It just seems like things are taking longer. So, like, for instance, yesterday's floor session, we only had three bills that we heard, and those were all revenue bills. So I don't know. Looking at the schedule, there's going to come a time, and I just don't know when that's going to hit. But, yeah, we'll be meeting probably 5 days a week.
All right. Live from Salem, State Representative Virgil Osborne with an update. Virgil, thanks for being on.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Take care. Bye-bye.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.